Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take it back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, until I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
is you living?
We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gang got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my pills dead, they took the road. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it, really trying to be about it. Never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma,
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed,
may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison dangers. Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go a 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Testing, testing, testing. Oh, there we go, there we go. Had the sound out. Thought it was going to play me out again. Not this time, not today. How's everybody doing? Trying to set this mic up, right? Hope everybody's feeling good tonight. October 7th, 2022. Man, let me tell you something. Doing this podcast is really something. It's almost like a job, a real life job, where you got to set aside time to study, to prepare, so you'll be. Prepare for the show at night. But no matter when the show is about to start or when it or what is, it seems like it's always something that's still going to come up to try to get you off your game. You got to stay focused. You definitely do. So how's everybody doing tonight? We got a good show. I don't know how the show is going to go tonight. I really don't. Hope everybody can hear me good through my microphone. Good, bro. I hope everybody can hear me good. We got some serious topics coming up. We got a lot of stuff going on tonight. We got the Lisa Experience going to come through, you know, in a few minutes after the introduction. Then we're going to jump into some serious topics. I don't even know. The show might not even go 2 hours tonight. I don't even know. I'm just gonna do it for as long as I can do it. If it go 2 hours, it go. If it don't, this is a real what would you say? I don't want to say it's a trying day or a hectic day. It's more like a stressful day. And sometimes you just can't get rid of stress. No matter how much you try, you just can't get rid of stress. But there are stress breakers. Sleep. Wine, drinking some wine, sex, all of those, or medicine, all of those are stress breakers. Thinking earlier about, since this is a relationship show, let me let everybody know. And if you're on the line, I got to remind you right now, you have to press 1 if you want to go live. But I was thinking earlier about relationships and what people bring to the table, or what is your worth. See, I think of myself, I'm an asset, not a liability. If I come through the door or your door, that's help coming through your door. That's not a liability coming through your door. It's help coming through your door. If you got somebody in your life and you telling them your problems, I need help with a car payment, rent, public service, cable bill. If the person can't help you, then they're a liability. Also, if you got somebody in your life and you telling them all your problems, if you got somebody in your life and you telling them all your problems and they don't do nothing to help you or try to help you, that's a liability. Somebody text me. And that's what we have to start realizing. Whether somebody in your life is an asset or a liability. And then also, you have to wonder what you are. Are you an asset or are you a liability to somebody? Like I said, if I'm coming through your door, it's help coming through your door. If you got problems, I'm going to try to help you with them problems. There's so many situations in this world right now that's going on with, put it like this. You got a man, say if you got a man, and on a scale to 1 to 10, he's a 9. And he got money. So he's a 9. He looked good. He got money. So he could just about get any woman he want. Either maybe because of his looks definitely because of his money. So you might get a man that's a 9, and he might be having sex with a woman who on a scale of 1 to 10 is a 5. Now, she might be a 5, and she might have a big ass or whatever, big boobs or whatever that is, but she still is a 5. So then what happens is the 5 start really believing that she deserving of a 9, but she's not. It's just maybe that the 9 just choose to mess with the 5. And that's where a lot of problems come in. Look in the mirror, and you have to take a good look at yourself, and then you got to say, do I deserve a 9? If you don't, you don't. If you do, you do. But for a man, most of the time, it's all about just pussy. Because whether he looks good or he got money or whatever it is, he can get a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's all just another piece of ass under his belt. We have to start choosing people in this world who accommodates us on our level. Don't go reaching for things that's beyond you. Don't look for people who might be out of your league because of whatever, because that kind of love is not going to last. I always been a person that wound up with people who like me and not the people that I liked. That's the problem with a lot of people. You have to get the people that like you, not the people that you like. You ever heard yesterday's price is not today's price? That's real. And that has been your public service announcement for today. We got a good show coming on today. We really do. Like I said, we got the Lisa experience coming through in a few minutes. And then we're going to jump in with all the topics. Topic number one, if you could have a conversation with your ex, if your ex was dead or alive, if you could have a conversation with your ex, what would you ask them? Everybody got an ex now, come on. So people should press one and help me out with that topic. I know what I would ask an ex. Topic number two, should someone who cheated on you be given a second chance and why? Topic number three, what's your biggest fear when it comes to starting a new relationship? And topic number four, if you could only have sex for once a month for a whole year, what would you prefer? Good sex or good oral sex? Which ones? That's our fun topic for the day, for this evening. Oh, well, let me see. I want to thank everybody who out there on the link listening, and everybody on the phone lines. I have grown accustomed to people just listening, so I just talk. And that's my gift right there. Shit. 4785, you here?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. How about you?
I'm all right. Caller number one says, oh, I forgot to say, caller number one said she won't be here with us this evening. I don't know really what happened, but she just said she won't be able to participate this evening. So we miss her.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. And Dre is on the way from the hospital. You know, Dre been in the hospital. My graphic designer, my program director, he's on the way home from the hospital as we speak.
Oh, that's a good thing.
So what you got for us today?
All right, first I want to give a shout out to my 45th class reunion is tomorrow night, 1977. I want to give a shout out to anybody that graduated in 1977. Look forward to seeing some of my classmates tomorrow night. Tonight, I'm talking about relationships, as my co-host or host was saying about relationship. I'm just going to top over a little bit that he brought out. As you know, I always like to take everybody back and then come forward. So I'm going to go back a little bit. So relationship. Been hearing a lot of people going off and talking about their relationship, and it's just disturbing me. So I felt like maybe I need to just talk about relationships, because everybody want to be in one, but I don't think people really get what it means to be in a relationship. So I want to take us back in time, back when you was young, and the first time that you ever noticed, because you don't notice a boy until you get a certain age, or a girl. So take yourself back when you first thought about somebody that you liked. Not why you like them, it's just that you like them, getting into that mode of liking the opposite sex. And you just like them. They didn't really have to know that you liked them, but you liked them. You know what I mean? When they even just seeing them, it thrilled you. They even said something to you, it thrilled you. But that was a relationship because you liked them. And then let's move a little forward. Then the first time that you ever met somebody and you start talking to them, and you was dating as a teenager, and you stayed on the phone all night long, and you couldn't wait to hear from them or see them or be with them. And, you know, that was that relationship that you just enjoyed being with that person and just doing things together, whatever, bowling, movies, hanging out, watching TV, you know. It was a good relationship, you know what I mean? You thought you was really in love. And then we move forward more. And maybe then you're in a serious relationship. Either you could be married, you could get ready to get married, or you could be living together, or you've been together for a while, but you're in separate habitants, but, you know, you talk and you see each other. And that relationship, you know, is moving forward. And then relationships. Now you're moving forward and you're more mature, and it wasn't like it was when you was young. You know what I mean? Sometimes maybe you don't enjoy being with that person. Maybe you found out that you don't have a lot in common that you thought you did. Or maybe they're not fulfilling the things that you thought they would at the time. Or maybe you made a decision out of hesitant, or you thought that it would be the right thing, and then maybe later on it turned out to be the wrong thing. Relationship. And I was talking to someone today at work, and they had just got married, been married 2 years. So I said, I'm talking on a broadcast tonight, a podcast, what you think is making your marriage good for this part of time? And he said, just like your brother said, you got to keep it real. It blew my mind that he said that. And I told him that I would say that. And he said, you got to be kind. And I thought about what he said, and it's real. When we get into a relationship with another human being or a person of the opposite sex, why don't we keep it real? Why don't we? Why do we get with people and we pretend to be something, or we pretend to be somewhere else, or we be connected with them, you know, and just to be in that relationship? Why do we pretend? Why don't we keep it real? Why don't we let them know how we really are? Why don't we really show them our true feelings, the things that we want out of a relationship or what we want out of life? Why do we not keep it real? Why? Then we get in a relationship and then we want to talk to other people about, oh, that person is driving me crazy. Oh, I can't believe this. Oh, if I knew this, I wouldn't be there. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, I made a big mistake. It's not like I thought it would be. You know what I mean? They're not as loving as I was. They don't have the money I thought they had. They don't live the way I live. They want to do stuff that I don't want to do. You know what I mean? Keeping it real. Keeping it real. If you keep it real, there's no way you could go into a relationship and it turned out to be anything besides real, because you kept it real with the person. You know what I mean? You came into the relationship and you told them, look, I like a loving person. I like to go out to eat. I like movies. I like to save my money. I like to go on trips. You know what I mean? I'm a family person. You know what I mean? I want to get married later on. You know what I mean? I'm going to have kids later on. You know what I mean? I want a home. I want a home before I have kids. You know what I mean? Keeping it real. Not jumping up, going down the aisle, or getting an apartment and signing the lease together, or having an engagement ring on, and you didn't keep it real. And then later down a couple months, you'd be like, wow, is this how it is? Oh, this is not what I bargained for. This is not how I want it. You know what I mean? This is not working for me. Keeping it real. Keep it real. And you don't have to get all those problems. I got married when I was 20. I already had a kid, like I told the audience before. Got married. Told them I wanted to get married. Told them I might want another kid. I want a home. You know what I mean? I was tired of running around. I didn't want to party no more. I wanted to make a home for my kid. I wanted to be a wife. I didn't want to date no more. I just wanted to be a wife, and I wanted to move forward with a family. That's what I wanted. Keeping it real. Got married, said I do. Happy at your own wedding. And then 6 months later, I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm saying, what the fuck you did? It's not real. It's not what you wanted. You did the wrong thing. Messed up. How long it took for me to get out of that relationship? 11 years of my life. 11 years of my life. Not just a life, my young life. Remember, I was 23. To find out that I made a big mistake because I kept it real, but he didn't keep it real because he had other things in mind, the reason why he wanted to be with me. You have to keep it real, people. Relationships are serious. Life goes by fast. You know what I mean? You don't keep it real. You're not going to lose out on anything. If he's not real or she's not real, you're not going to lose out on nothing. You just get on another boat. Get on another bus. Find somebody who's going to keep it real with you. You know what I mean? It's nothing like laying in the bed with somebody that's not keeping it real with you and fake. And just giving you what you they think you want. It's not what you want, it's what you want to be. You want to be happy. Everybody want to be happy. They don't want to be sad. They want to be happy. You know what I mean? That's what you have to do. You have to work on being happy with yourself. And there's people out there. I see people in good relationships. But you know why? Because they keep it real with each other. They know what they want, and they go for it. You don't have to lie to a person that's to be in a relationship and be loved. That's not it. Because you could be with somebody, don't love them, and as you be together and you both treat each other good, like he said, a 9 could be with a 5. 5 could be with a 10. 10 could be with a 1. But if you treat each other good, later on as time goes on, you grow to love each other because it's not what you look like, it's how you treat each other. Kindness, loving, trust, worthy of each other. Both got a future. Both got goals. Relationship. Don't devalue it. A lot of people sitting begging to have a relationship. And the ones that got it don't appreciate when they got one. It's so sad that people got relationships and being with somebody. Oh, well, I'm mad. Even tonight, I was talking to somebody. I said, I'm looking for somebody. Oh, well, I can't help you. I got somebody. Okay, you got somebody. But I know how that somebody and you are. So, I mean, just having saying you got somebody don't mean you got somebody because you ain't happy and they ain't happy. You don't have to put out their title if the title don't mean anything. That's just like your boss is your boss, but he sit around, don't do nothing, but he your boss and don't help you. Relationship. I didn't mean to go long. Try to always keep it short, but it's very sacred to me about relationship because it's too many people out here that talk about their relationship. And that's another thing. Whatever goes on in your home, once you lock that door, don't tell people. Don't tell your friends. Don't tell nobody how your relationship is. Because if somebody out there listening and your relationship might not sound too bad to them. That's how people get taken. That's how you get side chicks. That's how you get side men. Don't tell people what's going on in your home with your partner. That's a personal thing. That's number one. You keep stuff to yourself. Now, if you're just dating and you're not going to be serious, you can tell me anything you want. Oh, he flipped me, whatever, whatever. But once you make that commitment to each other, you keep that to yourself. Because there's a lot of people out there ready to snatch people up. And, I mean, I'm being real, keeping it real. People out here is desperate, and they'll do anything and take anything they can to get what they want out of life. And then you sitting back saying, oh, he has to do that to me. Well, were you keeping it real? Was you doing what you're supposed to do? Keeping it real. Thank you.
I said, I give you a hand clap for that. Keeping it real. Because you are emphasized on the keeping it real. That's a
you're
good
welcome.
Thing. What'd you say?
I said, you're welcome.
Oh, yeah. That's almost like self-preservation. It should be the first rule of life to keep it real. But since we are in relationships, I add mine to it, too, a little bit more from the beginning already. Because everybody know, I always say, I'm Mr. Fuck Love. I don't believe in love. But everybody else seem to, and that's okay with me. It should be a loving world then. It should be full of love. It should be full of happiness. It should be no cheating. And no beefing. It should just be a loving world. But the problem is people always tend to try to change other people. So now, and that's ego. Your ego telling you, you got to change this person. You got to change this person. You got to change this person. But in your heart, you know you can't change them. And most of the time, that's how it is. And then we got people when you think about it, when you meet somebody, two different upbringings, sometimes two different cultures, lifestyles, parents. I mean, different parents with different lifestyles. And then you come together. That's the only thing that I could co-sign is the way they do it in some of the other countries. They take the mother and the father of the girl and the mother's father, if they're alive, of the guy, and they bring them together and they all have dinner. And that's a good thing because the mother and father get to see their mother and father, their mother and father get to see their mother and father. They get to see what values they got, how they was brought up, the lifestyles. That's a good ask. It might seem dominant or controlling, but that's a good damn thing. Because how many times you've been in relationships with people and you see their father, he might be a drunk. Their brothers and sisters or something might be no good, and you'd be like, man, I wish I would have knew. You might be cool with your brother. They might don't even talk to their brother. You might be cool with your sister. They might don't even talk to their sister. And you say, oh, I wish I would have knew this before I met this person, because they grew up crazy. I didn't grow up nothing like that. And that's a lot of times. Man, I was doing, I remember so many things when I was growing up. I remember paper routes at 12, bagging groceries at the grocery store, shoveling snow. I remember my mother taking me to the bank to get a Christmas club, a $5 Christmas club. I didn't even know what that was. They don't even have them anymore. But she took me to the bank and she said, look, we open up a Christmas club for $5. You put $5 in it every week. And at the end of the year, you've got $250. I put that $5 in there every week. At the end of the year, I had $250. I couldn't believe that. The next time, I wanted to do a $10 one and a $20 one. Why I'm saying that is because values that instilled in you. And you might be a person who have a lot of that. But then you fall in love with somebody who don't have none of that. Underrated blessings. And everybody, I really I commend people who are in love. I really do. Because it's hard. It's hard to be with one person 10, 20, 25, and 30 years. And for the people that do it, amen, for real. And I mean, why not? You should do it. Because one of the dumbest things in the world is for a woman to leave a man for cheating. To me, that's one of the dumbest things in the world. You know why? Because she gonna go get with another man who gonna do the same thing. Cheat. This girl once told me, why trade in one devil for another devil? I ain't know what she meant. I was like, your man good to you? I was like, you don't never think about leaving him. She said, why trade in one devil for another one? And everybody running around, love, 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 love. a man and a woman, you know, everybody in love. Let your man get rich. Let your man hit the pick six. Or let your woman or let your wife hit the pick six. I'll show you some love, all right. I don't like to talk like that and say that, but let somebody hit the pick six and I'll tell you if you're in love. No, you know, everybody know I'll just be running off at the mouth. It's beautiful people out here. It's beautiful women. And it's beautiful men. And love should be love. Because there's nothing like coming home to somebody. Let me see, 1 second. 8555, you lies.
Yeah, I was listening to you speak about love, you know. And
Good thing you stopped me. I was all over the place. I don't know what the hell. I be everywhere.
Yeah, the thing you said that, you know, it's many people who believe in love, it should be a much better place. And I agree. However, I don't know if everyone understand what love is, you know what I mean? That's the thing. Like people want to love, people try to love, but if you don't really understand what love is and what it takes, and it, you know, the commitment of love, then it's hard to really love, you know, love someone correctly. I think what's happening is people are not being loved correctly. I mean, for example, a guy could say, you know, he love a woman, and he putting hands on her, you know, he's so jealous that somebody else gonna get her, he's putting his hands on her, and she believes that love because he telling her I love you, that's why I do that to you. Now, is that really love? You know, can you really say that that's love when, the woman is cursing the man out every day, you know, downgrading him, you know, but she says she loves him, you know, or if either one of them count down everything that they've done for the other person. You know what I mean? They keep a record of what they've done for the other person. Is that love? So it's a number of things that when you love somebody, like the best example that I can give for love is most people when they love their children. The love that you have for your children is a special kind of love. You know, your children and you know, family members, some family members, where there's things that's done to you that you get angry, that it hurts your feelings, but you still love them. You still strive to make the relationship work. You still strive to work on the relationship to make it better. I think that's what we're missing when it comes to love, the understanding of what love means, and that love is an action word. It's not just something you say. It's something you show as well as feel. You know, I think that's the biggest misconception about love. People just say, oh, I'm in love. I feel it. I can feel it. But you got to be able to show that. You got to make, you know, it's not just something that this warm, fuzzy feeling inside. You know, love doesn't always, like they say, it's not always sun. It's not always sunny days. Sometimes it got to rain. So sometimes love going to hurt. Love is not going to always, you know, people get the misconception that love is going to be peachy and sunshine and happy days and, you know, good feelings. No, love is not that. Love is hardship sometimes. Sometimes you got to go through hardship with love. Love is, it has to be tested. It's hard to say that you love someone if you never tested to find out that if you really love them. You know, if everything is good, like, for example, you said, okay, you thought it wasn't wise for a woman to leave a man if he cheats on her. Is it wise for a man to leave a woman if she cheats on him? If in that case, what do you think about that, host?
I mean, I think it go both ways.
Okay.
It's the same thing. If a woman cheat on a man and he take her back, I mean, if a woman cheat on a man, if he go get another woman, what's to say the other woman isn't going to cheat on him? So that's kind of like what you just said when you said, I guess that's called testing love.
Right. That could be one of the tests.
Like, but I don't really understand that. Or
understand what part?
I can't really get that in my brain that if I love you and you love me, why do it have to be tested? You know what I'm saying? You know how you said love has to be tested. You have to go through.
Yeah.
But see, I don't understand that. Why does love have to be tested? Why?
I mean, it's not tested intentionally. It's just that in life, you go through hard times and good times. You go through trials and tribulations. So love is a part of life. So with that being said, then it's going to be tested in one way or another. I mean, for example, with your children, think about your children. Think about if with your children, you may give them, like you were speaking on values. You give them certain values and you love them and you want them to adhere to those values. However, they decide, I don't want to adhere to that. I'm going to do something different. Now, you're not happy about that. Whenever they do something that goes against the values that you set for them, it hurts you. But you don't stop loving them because they did something to go against the values that you set for them. You still love them. You know, so that's what I mean. Like, love is going to be tested, and even in relationships, love is going to be tested. It's you know, I mean, for example, you meet a woman, and the woman is, you know, everything is good. She, you know, she has a decent job, she has a decent personality, she's, you know, she cooks for you, and then one day, maybe she loses her job. You know what I mean? Maybe she loses her job. Then what? You know what I mean? That's a test of your love. Do you say, well, hey, look, you lost your job, you got to go. You know what I mean? I can't, you know, I was used to you bringing money home. Now you put more on me. Or vice versa, as a man. Man loses his job, you know? So it doesn't necessarily always have to be tested with a person cheating on you. It's other ways that it can be tested. The person can get sick. You know, you're in a relationship. The person gets sick. That's a test. You know what I mean? Okay, do you, once the person gets sick or the person get depressed or go through some mental issues, do you bail out or do you try to help the person out? That's what I mean. Do that make it any more sense to you?
No, that make a lot of sense. That make a lot of sense, but maybe because I think maybe like I've been there. You know what I mean? I've been there when love had to be tested. I've been there when my love was tested, or when I tested love, I've been there. And it just seemed like maybe like the world would be a better place if it didn't have to be tested. You know what I mean? If it was just genuine, if people just, how would I put this? If people just could come together and then love without being tested with pain, even though I heard what you said, it's a million ways to be tested.
Right, right.
You know, that your love can be tested.
Yeah, and I think you believe, I think you have a misconception that love's supposed to be about bliss. You know what I mean? That
about
blissful
what?
Part
about
where
what?
When you first bliss, that bliss, like the happiness part where everything is good. Like when you first get into a relationship and everything is real sweet, everything going good, everybody on their best behavior, and feelings are just flowing like water, you know? And then after a while you get to know each other, those feelings start changing. I think you wish that it could stay like that. I mean, unfortunately, the reality to that is if we place love as a part of life, and when we look at one of the most crucial things in life that we have to deal with is death. And death shows us that love that everything has a limitation. You know what I mean? And there's pain. There's going to be pain because one of the most painful things is losing somebody through death. It's not as painful. I mean, to some people, it may be painful to lose a person by breaking up, but with death, it's permanent. So as long as you're alive, whatever hardship you go through with a person, you can, if both of you are willing, you can find a way to work it out. The only permanent part to end love is death. That's the only permanent way to end love. And then still, even when the person is gone, we still have love for them. So that's one of the best ways I can explain that. Love like life, it has to be tested. It has its ups and downs. It's just, we all would love to live forever. You know what I mean? Without death. However, the way people are in this world, it to some degree, death, you can imagine how bad it would be if people didn't die. You know what I'm saying? If some of the people that you know that's so ruthless could just live on, you know, that's a manner of how we be tried in our lives. You know, so love to me is one of the best parts of life. It's one of the best parts of life that we have because we get the chance to build something with someone else and show the unselfish part of ourselves to someone else. Like when I first got on the line, you two were talking, you were speaking about self-preservation, and that should be like, you know, the holy grail or something. Like, however, self-preservation is good; it has its place, but love even prevails that because you it gets you to let go some of your selfishness and share some things with other people, share a part of yourself with another person, which is in itself a beautiful thing. When you can do that, when you can share a part of yourself with someone else willingly, love is not a forced thing. This is something that we do willingly. We give love willingly. It's not something that you're obligated to do. You don't ever have to love nobody. It's not an obligation. You know, it's something that you do. So what's your comment now, Olson?
No, that's real. That's real. I believe that, like with love, you could talk, you could go on and on, or we could go on and on about love, and love because, you know why? Because it's a real thing. I gotta, know what, hold, stay with me for a minute. I gotta take a quick break and call a couple of people because they can't get through. Everybody, so we're gonna take a quick break, go to a quick song, and I gotta make, you might hear some phones ringing. I gotta make a couple of phone calls, and we'll be right back after this with the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean online podcast.
Again, I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you won't wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. But first, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
Welcome back to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean online radio podcast. Somebody got music on in the background. Radio. Might have to mute your phone. Yeah. Back, you know, to that love thing. If you got a real good intellect toward love. And that's a good thing. But is it more easy, see how fluently you could talk about it? Is it more easily talked about it? Or is it more easily shown in action? Like, can you walk the walk like you talk the talk? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, it hasn't always been easy for me. And that the reason I can speak about it the way that I can speak about it is because over the years I've learned how to love. I didn't always know how to love. I had to learn how to love. And you know, there's a saying, people be saying, oh, I fell in love. I fell in love plenty of times, but what it was my own interpretation or of love, my own idea of what love was to me and what the person was to me. It was an image that, you know, that wasn't truly who the person was. And that even made it more difficult, because you mentioned something about why people want to change people, why people want to change other people. That's not really for me. I don't think, unless you want to help a person become better and you strive to enlighten them, because, you know, love is patient. So you be patient with someone. So it's one thing to want to help a person grow and be better than what they are or what they believe they can be. It's another thing to try to change a person to make it better for you, to make them fit a mold that's comfortable for you. I don't think that's love, when you try to make a person fit a mold that's going to make your life much better. You know what I mean? In a sense where it's come from a selfish place. See, love is not selfish. Love is like, look, I want you to grow. I want you to be the best you can be. And if being the best you can be means being away from me, then that's love too. You can love a person and not really be with them. If you know that you as an individual is no good for a person, you two, like you were saying earlier, if your values don't fit and it's too much turmoil between you, that you have to go at each other in a negative way where you argue and fight against each other, then a loving thing would be to say, look, I love you too much to keep taking you through this. I love you enough to let you be with somebody who's going to be better for you. So don't think that love means you got to hold on to a person if you know it's not, it's the love that you have for each other is toxic. You as two people, you're not able to grow together. In love, you should be able to grow. Yeah, you should have disagreements and hardships, but you still should be able to grow. Both of you should be able to grow and be the best you can be. If you're with somebody and you feel less than yourself, then chances are that's not the right type of love for you. Does that answer your question a little bit? Or?
Nah. I mean, that answers everybody's question.
So that mean that that's like one of my topics, though. So would you give somebody a second chance if they cheated on you?
Yeah. If it was done out of a reason that, you know, that we could come back from, that we could sit down and discuss.
Like what?
When I say sit down and discuss, that for example, that if she was trying to communicate with me and let me know that there was something missing in the relationship, that there was romance or just me being attentive to her, and I was too busy to hear it and didn't catch it. And then when she bring it to me, I can recall her trying to get me to slow down and listen to her and, you know, be more attentive and more considerate of her feelings or something like that, then I would take it that it was something that I could have done to prevent it. Had I only listened and communicated and allowed her to express herself, then I could do it. Now, when we speak on it, I don't want to, I'm not going to go down the road and was the sex better than mine? I'm not going to go to all that, how many times you did it. I'm not going to go through all that, because that kind of stuff is, I think, what makes it difficult to take a person back, because then you start asking all these personal questions instead of finding out what was the real purpose that they cheated on you anyway. Or what happened during that time, it was happening behind closed doors. For me personally, leaving behind closed doors, I don't need all that information. I just need what made you commit to act. You know what I'm saying?
I'm laughing because I'm the opposite of that.
I want to know how many times did you give him a blowjob? What positions you was in? All that kind of stuff.
How big was his dick? I want to know. Did you do doggy style? Did you suck it? How long did it last? Was it a quickie? I want to know, where was I at? What was the weather on that day? What song was playing on the radio?
But think about that. Think about all those questions that you're asking. Now what happens is those thoughts keep flowing in your mind every time you look at it from there. From after that, all those questions that she answered to you, now every time you see her, you're thinking about one of those questions, two of them questions, or all of them questions. So with all of that negative energy in your mind, how are you going to work on repairing what went wrong? Because you're going to keep holding on to all of that stuff that you asked.
I'm not going to be able to.
Right, so that's the purpose. So when I say that, it's a purpose behind that. That's the purpose that all of that is unnecessary, because it's too much information. Remember, as 5 percenters, we used to call it what? Self-equality unknown. Means, okay, let it be self-equality and keep it unknown. You ain't got to be explaining all that. Keep it unknown. I don't need to know all of that.
I can hear that, but I always been a private eye. Like, I like a agent 007 or some shit. I had to know it all. But
right.
I know what you're saying. That's just, my mother used to tell me, boy, you don't want to know.
Yeah, right. Because think about it. Are you asking to repair the relationship, or are you just asking for, like you said, your own ego? You know what I'm saying? And now your ego get damaged. Now your ego is damaged now. You know, because if the wrong thing is said, your ego's going to be damaged. So you're not going to be able to come back from that.
Yeah, it probably was for ego.
That, what else could it be? It's not to repair the relationship. All those questions are not necessary to repair the relationship. That's only your ego. That's only you feeling that ego, man. I want to know if he knocked it down better than I did. You know what I mean? she could lie to you and say, yeah, you know what I'm saying? But if she truthful,
oh, she
and
gonna
say,
lie.
You know, yeah, yeah. So why put her on that spot where you force her to lie, and when you could just, you know, get the main reason? Look, what was the reason you did? What made you do that? It's not the fact that you did it, but what caused you to do it? And if the reason is good enough for you that you can understand that you played a part in that, then you, then yeah, then you, you work on being able to forgive her and move forward. You know? That, and as well as with a man. That goes both ways. That's not just for women. That's for men as well.
Hello? You know?
Go ahead. Hello?
Hi. Listen, a lot of that is good that you're talking about, but when a person cheat on you, why you care? Why you care about what they did? As I might have said one time on the show, my girlfriend came and told me that my husband was cheating on me, and I didn't care what he did with the other girl. I didn't care to ask him what he did with her. I didn't care what he did with her, because he had to do the same thing he did to me. So, I mean, I wasn't that shallow to worry about how he fucked her or what he did to her, because I know what he did to me in bed. So, I mean, obviously he gave her the same thing he gave me. So, I mean, it wasn't like I was jealous of getting that same thing. And if he did give her something a little better, I was happy for her. You people got to stop thinking about cheating. Like, if a person cheats on you, then you need to up and leave that, because once you cheat, you're never gonna trust them. I don't care what nobody says. You're never gonna trust them. You're never gonna believe in them, and you're always gonna be worrying about who he with and what he gonna do. So don't make it hard on yourself by staying with somebody, because it's not gonna work. Because we are human beings and we don't forget. We keep it in our mind all the time about what somebody did. Years later on, you still be like, oh, that person, whatever, whatever, whatever. We don't forget. You have to be a person that feels that if they cheated and you feel that the relationship still can make it for whatever reason besides the kids, but it could be still a healthy relationship and you can move on, then, yeah, stay in it. But if you're going to live through hell with a person that's going to talk about, oh, where you been? Oh, I don't believe you. Oh, you ain't going out with them. Or you can't be with them. And you don't have a life and you with a person, why would you want to stay with somebody like that? You know what I mean? Just like me.
I totally agree.
I used to be a cheater. But I'm telling you again, cheaters don't get caught. If you get caught, you're not a cheater. Because why would you want to hurt a person that you live with or that you're in a relationship with? My husband never knew I cheated until after I left him. When I left him, that's when he found out I was a cheater. Because I didn't have to mess my family up letting him know I cheated. It was something I wanted to do. It wasn't nothing that I had to mess my kids up and who I was with and make them feel bad that I was out with somebody else. It was something I wanted to do. But when a person cheat and get caught, you get sloppy. You get sloppy with your stuff. You getting too comfortable, and you with you whoever you with, and you ain't had no rules, but you went into it one way, and then you caught feelings, or you got deeper than what you were supposed to, and you didn't nip it in the bud, and then you got busted, and then you want that person that you live with to forgive you that you overdid it.
I'm laughing, but that's basically a true statement, you know? That is basically a true statement. I mean,
as far as my brother, he's never gonna love nobody because he got all the love when he was growing up. So he can't give it to nobody and he can't receive it because he don't believe in it, because he is the only one that thinks he's supposed to receive love. He's not going to give it to nobody. He don't believe in giving it to nobody. It's not that my brother. He talk about love.
Who, me?
That's why he likes to talk about love all the time. He's not going to never love nobody. He only loves himself and what people can love on him. He ain't never going to give love to nobody.
So do you think that is because he don't know how, or you think he's just too selfish to do it? What do you think?
Okay, so y'all been friends for a long time. Now, you know that he had 1,000 women, right? So now out of those 1,000 women he had, they loved on him so hard. He didn't have to give them no love because they gave him love. he could probably count on his finger how many people he truly really felt something deep for. You know what I mean? And if you don't give love to somebody else, but you just receive it, how would you know what it feels like to give it? Because all you're doing is the receiver. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
you gotta be the giver.
Like you said, we've known each other for 50 years. So I've seen him in love. I've seen him head over heels in love.
How many times?
Not a lot.
Well, how many?
I could say at least I could say 2 to 3 times.
Okay, that's not
times.
3 times to a million women.
I mean, everybody, like, I mean, even you can say, like, some people, the relationship wasn't a love relationship. It was a relationship of convenience.
But remember, how many women really loved him, and you could say he only loved 3? Come on. Out of all the women that he loved, he only loved 3.
I mean, I think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. Look, every woman that be with you, every woman or man be with you, they want to be loved. No matter what kind of love it is, they want to be loved. But if you only seen him love 3 people, and he's been with more than 3 people, I mean, like, all them other ones, they got to be saying, well, damn, what I was there for.
Hold on. Go ahead.
Let's get off of Jay Sean. Hold on.
It's keeping it real.
Hey, we got a caller on the line.
All right, go ahead.
This is Solution. I know you guys talk a lot about relationships, but what's your subject today?
Man, we talking about relationships as far as should you give somebody a second chance if they cheat on you? We talking about we talking about love being tested or should it be tested? And we didn't get to this one yet, but I got another one that I'm waiting to ask somebody. If you could ask your ex, that's what I got to go back to 4785 and ask her, too. If you could go back to your ex, if they dead or alive, if you was having a conversation, what would the one question you would want to ask them?
Right. But you say if someone cheats, it should you forgive them? Should you... allow them
back
in?
Right.
Well, that would depend. If they're sorry, how much damage was done, and that sort of thing. It would have to be taken on a case-by-case basis, of course, and a discussion would have to ensue to make that determination. Because if they hadn't repented to not do it anymore, I mean, one would have to live with that kind of disrespect, but like I said, it would depend on a case-by-case basis, but in any event, they would have to stop the behavior.
So you said you would take somebody back who cheated?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't mean to say that. I said it would be done on a case-by-case basis, and the person would have to be truly repentant. Or usually, let me just say this, because you didn't clarify. If it's in a marriage or in a dating relationship, generally if a woman does that, I would say no, don't take her back. Because you shouldn't put up with that. I would say generally don't take her back.
Okay.
Because she's putting you at risk for disease. If she's effing another guy, you know, she could get pregnant and then try to stick you with it. There are all kind of repercussions that could ensue from that kind of behavior. So I would say generally about 80 to 90% of the time, you would just get rid of that.
So, okay.
You single, right, Mr. Solution?
Yes. Currently, yes.
So if you could have a conversation with your ex and it was one thing you could ask her, what would you ask her?
Nothing. Nothing comes to mind immediately. Because that's why the person is an ex. A person is an ex for a reason. Right?
Okay. Yeah, but okay, but wait, one second. Hold, stay with me 1 second. Stay with me
sure.
1 second. 4785.
Yes.
Your husband is deceased, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's say, like, if you could speak to him one more time, do you have a question you would want to ask him? One question.
Yeah, why was you a liar?
Why? Hey, so, Mr. Solution, you see what I'm saying? Mr. Solution. Hello?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. Yes, I heard the response.
No, that's all right. What I'm trying to say is that, like, if you ask me if it's one question I wanted to ask the ex, right away I'm going to say something like, I think of one. If I could ask one of my exes, I'd say, why we could never be alone, why it had to be so many say, like, grandchildren or family around. And like 4785 said, why was you such a liar? But you said it's no reason to have a question for them, right?
Right, right. Let me just clarify. Okay, first of all, the person that the lady responded to is deceased, so she can't ask the person physically. But if a person go ahead.
No. I was saying, go ahead. I was just saying, you said the lady.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
but if the person is alive, I could ask the person if I were motivated to do so. The point is, I'm not motivated to do so, and there isn't a question. That is a legitimate answer.
That's real. Because really,
yeah.
That the same way you're talking, that's how I am. I'm
okay. Yeah,
along,
because you could.
No,
you, the person that's
the,
your ex.
The game.
Right, the person that's your ex is still living, correct?
Correct.
So if you have a question to ask them, you could still do that if you wanted to, correct?
If my ego wasn't so big.
That's a separate issue.
I had an ex after my husband died, and I called him up like a couple of years later, and I did ask him about our relationship. So he was alive, and I still had a question to ask him.
Take five. One second. 9318.
Peace.
Hey, what's going on? Peace. You listening to the show?
Man. Yeah, I'm just listening just now, man. I've been listening for about 10 minutes. I wanted to just call in, man, because I couldn't reach Shadi directly. I wanted to let Shadi know, man. Pardon me for missing the show on Wednesday. Fasting and praying I'll be able to catch the next joint. But
okay, all right, I could dig it. You know, whenever you can make it, it'll be cool.
Dio.
Indeed, God. Yes, sir.
Dio.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. You called my show. You got to answer the topic.
Oh, shit. Here we go. Okay. Shoot, Jay, shoot.
Well, okay, let me see. I can't ask you that one either. Wait a minute. Should you take somebody back if they cheated on you? Should you give them a second chance?
Me personally, no.
Why?
I don't know. I think I'm just that fucked up, I guess. I don't know, for lack of a better expression. I just couldn't see myself going back that way. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's interesting, right?
Right.
I know.
Nah, I just
thought you want.
Were you on the road?
You thought
on the road,
you want that? Yeah. That's kind of wild,
okay,
Mr. God's show, man.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
hey, we here every week. We here every week.
Yeah, I got. Look,
that's
I'm in the bushes listening.
That's my huh? That's my man right there, everybody. He on the road from Atlanta, Georgia. He on the road. He's a truck driver. All right, B.O., be safe. Don't hang up. Listen to the show.
Likewise. Indeed. You all ready?
All right. Mr. Solution, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I like that. I like that name, Mr. Solution.
Thank you.
I'm kind of like the problem. So we gonna let you be the solution. I'm gonna be the problem.
Well, being a problem is a choice too, you know.
Correct. Yeah, definitely. No, but on a serious note though. When it comes to relationships and forgiving somebody for cheating, my cat just bit me. When it comes to and dealing with relationships and all that, I'm gonna be honest with you. I really believe in 2022 that it's too hard. It's too complicated, and it's gonna take too much energy to maintain one. Are you looking for love, Mr. Solution?
Well, you could say in a word, yeah. But I think we would need to take a moment to unpack what love means. And I don't know. I gave a definition of it last time on your show. And love is a very important thing. It's a real thing. It's abstract like a number, but it's a real thing. And so I think this would require a little bit of unpacking, a little bit of conversation. And relationships can be fixed. I don't believe in throwing away fixable relationships. And I think a lot of people walk away from relationships that could be salvaged. But like I say, it's on a case-by-case basis. It depends on what the person did, and it depends on the person's attitude as a result of having done what they did. So both of those have to be called into question. And I'm a real believer in professional counseling, by the way. I believe that people should get counseling. It's a difficult world. It's a complicated world. We're not experts at everything. And, you know, one thing an expert realizes is, or should realize is what they're not an expert at. And thus, I highly recommend professional counseling. In order to bring up the issues, if a counselor is worth their salt, they can bring up the issues that the people need to work on and give them a type of didactic or project that they can work toward, you know, reconciliation and improving their relationship. So That's a really good thing. There's an old bromide that says, in the presence of counselors, purposes are established. And I think that's where we falter in what the purposes are in a healthy relationship. So absolutely, I'm looking for a relationship, and it's difficult to find women today that are relationship worthy. I'm just going to lay that on the table. Being a man of substance and character and that sort of thing, very important. It's very hard to find a compatible mate. Some men are leaving the country. I'm not going to do that, but you know, it's not that important. It is important because I have a great life, and I would like to have someone that would be an addition to that life, not a subtraction.
An asset and not a liability.
Correct.
And you talk
and we should do a show on finances, by the way. I'm not a financial advisor, but I have a lot of experience with finances, have studied a lot of books, have, you know, achieved some degree of financial success. So, you know, whenever you guys care to do it, because finances and relationships go together, by the way. If a man doesn't have adequate finances, women generally don't want anything to do with him. And there's a term called hypergamy, which means that women, and for all intents and purposes, attempt to marry up. You know the song, I think, by TLC, I Don't Want No Scrub? Do you recall that song? Yeah. That was a very popular song.
Yeah,
but she was talking about men, though, and I agree. But most of your scrubs are women.
Well, look, you
most of the people looking for handouts and wanting to consume other people's assets, generally those are women. Women don't even want to go out unless you buy them dinner and that sort of thing. Now, I do coffee dates. I mean, I make that very well known. I don't know a woman, thus I don't owe a woman. A strange woman. She's a stray woman to me. I don't know her. I don't mind spending money on a woman that's a girlfriend or if she's worth it, you know, and she wouldn't be a girlfriend if she wasn't worth it. And women in the family, but just strange women, dating women and spending money on them, hell no. A guy is a fool if he does that. He's a financial fool. Let's put it that way.
Would you marry a woman who had children?
Well, that's a good question. Let me qualify that. If she had children in a marriage and either the husband, they got a divorce or the husband died and it was one. Preferably a male child, not a female child, a male child. A female child presents problems to the stepfather. Real problems.
No. I'm talking about somebody with four kids by four different babies.
Oh, come on. Wait a minute. You're offending me now. That's offensive. It is. That's offensive. Why the hell would a man want to take on that kind of burden? What would be in that for him? Answer me that.
Hey, Mr. Lucas.
Go ahead.
You're hurting my feelings.
Well, I ask you a question. What would be in it for a successful man to take on a woman with four children? What number would he be? Number six? Number seven? I mean, a relationship is to be reciprocated, right? I mean, what's in it for him?
You hurt my feelings.
Would a woman take on a man with four children? Think about that. Would a successful woman take on a man with four children? Are all the children by the same man?
No, four kids by four different men.
Oh, that's kryptonite. That's a dagger in the heart of Dracula. Now look here. A person can do what they want.
Hold up. So if I told you I married somebody like that before, would I be a fool?
Well, let me put it this way. That would be like winning the lottery. And
for her?
I don't know. One would ask, well, why did you do that? Did you consult with any of your family members? What did they think? I'm not saying some of anything can't work. I'm just talking about the likelihood of it working are very, 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 very slim. Dealing with four different baby daddies, I mean,
I have a
you know, I don't want to get personal,
brother,
and I won't. But I'm just speaking in general. I'm just speaking
kids.
In general.
My
Go
brother
ahead.
Married a woman with five kids with five different fathers, and they've been married for 40 years, okay?
That's true.
Would you advise that to anybody?
Yes. Yes, it don't matter what a person passes. It's if you love them and you care for them and you want a future with them. It don't matter what happened to them. Everybody makes not a mistake. Children are not a mistake, but everybody has a past. Now, you
mm-hmm.
one has to be one to move on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what needs to be done, and I don't know if this sample size is sufficient. But that would be a good discussion point. I think I love good discussion, good healthy discussion. Just to ask people, I mean, would you do that? And what would be your reasoning to do it or not to do it? So anyway, but that's my position on that. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't advise anyone to do it. But if someone does it and it works, I mean, you know, some of anything can work for anybody. We're just looking at the probability. Do you guys follow what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Let me give you this. Say, for example, your son or daughter went to medical school. I'm just using this for example. Or they got a good education. You funded that education and everything. And then they came home and said, Mom, Dad, I'm going to marry a woman or a man with four kids by four different daddies or mothers, whatever. I mean, would you say that's a good deal to your son or daughter that you supported through professional school? I mean, it's just
yeah,
a question.
Yeah, because your son could take care of all four of them because he went to medical school.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Yeah, because you will help your son to be able to afford to get a job and take care of the four children.
I'm not quite understanding that, ma'am.
If your son met a woman with four children and he's a doctor or whatever, he can afford to take care of a family of four. So what's the difference if he loved a woman?
So you're saying as a parent, you would recommend that to your son?
My son has four children. I love every four baby mothers he got. Every one of them I love.
All right.
And if he marries somebody that don't have no kids, I would love her too. It's got nothing to do with me.
Okay. Well, you know, in life, I just say we choose our poison. That's all.
Well, it's poison all over the place.
Yeah,
I mean, what's he going
to
do?
If anybody out there, you know, you want to make a comment, you have to press 1. I just got to say that because I see all the callers on the line. If you want to go live, you have to press 1 and join the conversation. Don't be scared.
Yeah, and with me, I see both sides of it. I see solution side where you would be thinking about, okay, if you're looking for it in a way that, okay, how would this benefit me as an individual with my finances and my situation? What do I have to gain other than, you know, responsibility.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Let him talk. Let him come in.
3324, you live.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's good? This is my man Dre, y'all. Fresh home from the hospital. He escaped from the hospital.
Okay, what's up?
Bless up,
yeah,
Dre.
You gotta jump right into it.
Hold on, Dre.
Huh?
You can't do that. This dude right here is another close friend of mine, almost more like a son. He just came home from the hospital. Luckily he had the strength to participate in the show. Not even the strength, but the time for just coming home from the hospital less than an hour ago and to jump on my show. I really appreciate that. He got a trach, so his voice might be a little distorted. But I really appreciate you calling in, bro. And I know you just got out of the hospital.
Of course. I love you. All right,
what's up?
The dude that said adopt the kid, the four kids, things like that.
Mr. Solution?
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. So if your son came home and said, Dad, I met this woman, and she has a son that's disabled, how do you feel about that?
Is that to me?
No, to the solution. Mr. Solution,
yeah.
if you met a woman if your son came home and said he met a woman, he wanted to marry her, but she got a son that's disabled, what would you think about that?
Well, like I say, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, it would be on a case-by-case basis. It would, you know, the particulars would have to be looked at because that's a serious situation. You know, whenever a man gets in a relationship, look, you're putting all your assets on the line and whatever profession you're in, you're putting all of that on the line. It's like, you know, going to Vegas or whatever. And you want a good deal. You don't want a bad deal. And
Mr.
so,
hey, Mr. Solution, hold on. I don't mean to cut you off. So, if your son came home and told you he was in love with a woman, but she had a son that was disabled in a wheelchair, you symbolize that with gambling in Las Vegas.
What I'm saying is his life, first of all, is his to live in the way that he chooses. And remember now, if he's my son, I've raised him to think a certain way and to behave a certain way. And so ultimately, I would go along with my son or daughter's decision, ultimately, because as an adult, they have the autonomy to make their own decision. But I'm just saying, if they were seeking my advice, which I'm sure they would, I would go over it with them very carefully. And, you know, because you can't make a rash decision. You said marry, right? You said marry? Did you say marry? I just want to clarify.
Hey, Mr. Solution, you making me laugh because that don't matter. If your son what difference do it make?
Well, it makes a life difference in terms of what partner a person chooses. Because in that case, there would be two people involved. And, you know, there are what's called negotiables and non-negotiables. And like I say, it's up to the person to choose that. Now, you're throwing up these hypotheticals, and that's okay. That's okay. But I'm just feeding you back some practical information.
No. This is good. This is a podcast. You know what I'm saying? So everything is hypothetical.
Yeah, I understand.
You know what I'm saying? It's just a podcast. It's no right answer. It's no wrong answer. You know what I mean?
Right, I understand.
I believe that everybody is I believe that everybody maybe is learning something about their child or about somebody else. My man Dre, he just asked that question because he's disabled. But
mm-hmm.
I applaud you for being real. I'm not saying you wrong because if a son came to you and told you he was in love with a girl and he wanted to marry her, but she had a son that's disabled, I mean, maybe it's right for you to tell him, do you know what you're getting into? She got a son that's in a wheelchair and blah, 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 blah. Maybe you're right. I don't know about
But wait a minute. Let me say this. See, I'm looking at this in a panoramic view. It's the woman and her disabled son. It's not just the disabled son. It's both. And a decision would have to be made, obviously, on both accounts. And if the person deems it's worth it, you know, in some cases, that could be a good deal. I know of a man that married a woman with a child with a disability, and it seems to be working out real well. But realize...
Did you just say if it was worth it?
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
Hey, hold on. Hey, Mr. Lucian, hold on one second, please. Forty-five,
forty-nine. You live.
Hello.
Hey. Yeah. I have a friend who married somebody
That's real.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You can't
who you fall in
love with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can't clarify your feelings.
Yep.
You definitely can't. It's I don't really think that what Mr. Solution said, he didn't really, I mean, from his point of view, you got to look at it from his point of view as how we drew mm-hmm. it up hypothetically as a
right.
father talking to his son.
Yeah.
Let me tell everybody a quick story. I was 20 years old, and something happened. Back then it was shotgun weddings, and I got caught up in a situation where I was going to be in a shotgun wedding. I went to my father, and I asked him, what should I do? I was 20 years old. I had a job. I was hustling in the streets. It was 1982 or 83. I had a 1981 car. And I asked my father, what should I do? Should I get married or not? And he told me he couldn't make that decision for me. But I blamed him for a lot of years because, like, from Mr. Solution point of view, I wanted him to tell me not to do it. I wanted him to tell me that I was too young. I wanted him to tell me that I had a lot of years in front of me, that I was making a quick decision. But he didn't. He just told me. He told me he wasn't going to make that decision for me because if he did and it didn't work, if he told me what to do and it didn't work, I would blame him. But even though he didn't tell me what to do, he told me I had to make my own decision, I still blamed him when it didn't work. So I understand what Mr. Solution is saying as far as he probably would tell his son, make sure you know what you're doing. But from another person's perspective, it maybe sound kind of cruel, if you say. I don't know, Dre, how do that sound to you, what he's saying?
It sounds logical because it is a lot to deal with, you know, being a parent, taking care of a disabled child. It's not a stress. It's but it also makes you stronger. Yeah, it makes you stronger. It's hard for me because my mom, you know who my mom was, Jay.
Yeah, I know.
She told me, if you can't accept my child, you can't accept me. She told Guy that from the door. And she's a beautiful woman. You know what I mean? And,
No, I feel you on that.
Like I said,
on my podcast, it's no right answers and no right wrong answers. We all adults, and we all just we out here just giving our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
It's Friday night. I'm glad everybody is here with me. This is work, actually. It's not easy being a podcaster. It's like a job.
Hey Jay, I just want to appreciate everybody that agreed that do not take a woman back after she cheat on you. I want to surprise you. Everybody that said no, because I thought it was something wrong with me. For real.
You won't take a woman back if she cheat on you?
No. Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
Hold on.
I wouldn't.
One second, everybody.
3282,
you live.
Hey, what's happening, Jay? Just got on, man. I've been having meetings after Miss Adrian's show, so last week we couldn't even make it. But I just got off with Leon and Carol, so I just got on here to see what's going on.
I'm doing
good, man. Can't complain, brother. Hanging in there.
Hey, you know, we just doing what we do. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking about we were talking about relationship and love and disabled person. But look, if your son, I don't want to throw you in the fire that fast, but if your son came, how old are you? 65.
65. Yeah, my son is 34.
Okay, if your son came to you right now and told you he was in love with a woman, but she had a disabled son or daughter, and he wanted to marry her, what would you tell him?
Wait a minute. The question again is, if my son what again? I'm sorry.
If your son came to you and he was in love with a female and she had a disabled son, wheelchair-bound, bedridden, and he was in love with her, what would you tell him? Would you tell him marry her or think about it?
Yeah, no. It's up to him, man, to make that decision, especially if he's a grown man. I can't tell him who to marry. I would never get in the way of his judgment call, you know. You know, besides, that shouldn't hinder him. Excuse me, I was yawning. It shouldn't hinder him from wanting to marry her. Because she got a disabled son, it shouldn't matter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Solution. I want to jump in and just throw out another couple of points.
Go ahead, Mrs. Wilson.
Yeah, you know, anytime one gets married, there are a lot of moving parts here, and that's why it was always a family decision. Now, having said that, you never just marry another person. You also marry that person's family, okay? And if you're talking about a person that has a child and that child's parent, other parent, is still alive, you're also, in a sense, marrying that person too. So there are a lot of moving parts to consider here. And it's not just something that a person should take lightly. You're marrying that other person's family because they are going to have influence. I guess you guys have heard there's a standing joke that mother-in-laws tend to be the most hated people that there are. But I'm not saying that that's true. But one is marrying the other person's family. And they're marrying your family too, by the way. So let's bring all of these parts, moving parts, or certainly as many as we can, into focus. Because, as I said, you know, I had a couple of points. You know, when a person marries, you're putting your whole life, especially if you sign a marriage license, you're putting your whole life in the hands of someone else, both psychologically, financially, emotionally. And all of those things, and those things have to be really evaluated. That's why many marriages fail. A vast majority, or at least half, from what I understand, half of the marriages fail. So those are some things that people should take into account here. It's never just the other person. It's the other person's family, and if you're talking about a child, it's the parent of that child, too. So I just want to add that because that's important.
Mm-hmm. Right. I guess it's a lot of things. It's a lot of things that go into that. Love in relationships is, how could you put it? It's bigger than being complicated. I guess we just touched on the somehow we drifted into the conversation of if you had kids and if they was disabled and four kids by four different men and all kind of stuff. But I think what it all boils down to in the end is if you believe in it, then love is love. And that's all it is.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it, you know, and that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier that, you know, love, you're not going to have love without love being tested in some form or another. That scenario that you brought out is one of the tests, you know, to see how, you know, how strong the love is, you know. Can you work through whatever it is because of the love that you have for a person? Are you willing? And I, like I said before, I believe the longest you and the other individual have a healthy love, then it's almost nothing the two of you can't work through. And you, as long as you have good communication, a healthy love and good communication, you can pretty much work through almost
there. Yeah, 4785, you still here?
Yeah.
What's your greatest fear about going into a new relationship?
Being fucked up like I was with the last one.
Being what?
Being fucked up like I was from the last one.
Elaborate on that.
What?
Elaborate on
you this. Ain't telling us what the fear is.
The fear is that I give a lot and I'm real, and every time I get in a relationship I get phony people who don't really want to be real, just want to get in a relationship, see what they can get.
Okay. So if I'm not mistaken, you're saying that you're a giver and you end up in relationships with takers.
Yeah. That's why I'm not in a relationship now.
Okay.
Men really don't want good women. They want, I don't know what they want, but they don't want a good woman. Many men got women that they can't cook, they don't clean, they don't pay their bills, they don't take care of their home life. And that's the ones that they all right there for. But women that holds a job, keeps themselves together, they don't want to be with them. They're afraid to be with them. So, you know, I'm by myself.
Well, based on what now, you and Solution kind of sound similar with your views. You know what I mean? Solution said there ain't no good women out there. You said there ain't no good men out there.
Yeah, a lot of men are pigeons.
Solution, you still on the line?
Yes, sir.
Did you hear what she said? Did you hear what the caller said? Do you agree with her?
Well, I didn't hear all of what she said. Give me the high points of what she said. I think she said men don't want a woman with a job, and what else?
Call a filler man.
They don't want a sufficient woman. They want a woman that needs them and want to take whatever they can get from her. They don't want a woman that can take care of herself and just want to be in a relationship to grow in. You know what I mean? I'm not looking for nobody to take care of me. I'm looking for somebody to be with, a companion. You know what I mean? Work together. I don't want nobody I got to ask and wait for to give me what I can get myself.
Right. Well, okay. Let me comment on that. First of all, men and women historically look for different things. If you're looking for for a quality guy, okay, that guy, number one, is not going to be looking for you to take care of him, or not for very long anyway. But what he is going to be looking for is that you're fit, you're feminine, and you're friendly. Those three things. And see, a lot of times women think as they get older, their value goes up. Maybe they earn a little bit more and this kind of thing. But that's not what a successful man looks for. He already has that. He wants a woman that's fit, that looks good, height, weight, proportional. He wants a woman that's friendly and a woman that's feminine. So, see, sometimes women just get it twisted. They don't understand what a man is looking for. And oftentimes they don't understand what to look for in men. I would say, for example, go out, talk to men. Don't just wait for men to come up and talk to you, especially in this Me Too-ism type of framework. I could advise a woman, and I have advised many women, how to relate to men.
Mr. Solution, how many weddings have you been to in your lifetime?
I don't know what that has to do with it, but
now,
I've been to a few.
Okay, so listen, every wedding that you went to, the bride was small, right? Was the bride?
Someone needs to mute. I'm sorry. Ask that question again, ma'am.
I said most of the weddings that you went to, most of the brides were small, right?
They were small?
Yes, yeah, small in stature, right?
Well, yeah, the few that I went to, yeah, the women were fairly fit. Yes, they were.
Okay, so now, okay, let's take it a little further. Now, if you see them same women nowadays, now if you would meet them, they wouldn't be small in stature. Okay, that's only in reality when you're young. Nobody marries nobody fit. No more. You must have seen women out there. There's no fit women out there.
Wait a minute. What point are you driving at? I'm interested, but what are you driving at?
You're the one that said that men are looking for feminine women with a small stature. It's no more women like that unless you're going to marry a model.
Wait a minute. Well, first of all, they need to be height, weight, proportional. They shouldn't weigh more than the man.
Why? They're human beings.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you why. Number one, it's unhealthy to be overweight. High blood pressure, hypertension.
What about that? How about all the men that got bellies out there? What about y'all?
Look, I'm not arguing for bellies. I'm not arguing for anyone to be overweight. I'm just saying, for a woman, we have to start somewhere. So I'm just starting with the women, and I'm saying they need to be fit throughout their lives. They need to be healthy. First of all, for them, for themselves. Number two, they need to be fit for the man, because men are visual. Men like a woman that's height, weight, proportional.
Okay. Somebody background is kind of fuzzy. Somebody's background is fuzzy. It's kind of loud. So you can't hardly hear what everybody's saying because it's somebody's background.
Yeah, we are.
But based on what both of you are saying,
we went past 10 o'clock. But
yeah.
We really haven't.
Who background is all fuzzy?
Somebody got a lot of
static.
I don't know what it is.
But look. Somebody got static.
Anyway.
They need to mute their phone. Because this is actually a good conversation.
Yeah, but
we went over the time.
It's been a good podcast this evening. I really appreciate all the callers, everybody who called in. I really appreciate it. Shadi, Dre, Mr. Solution, Lisa, B.O., I didn't get the other calls, man, 45, 49. I really appreciate everybody calling in because, you know, that's what we need. That's what we need to keep the podcast working.
Hey, Harold, can you mute the person that had that background noise?
No, not me. I don't know who it is.
Somebody got a background.
Let me tell you, the background is real.
Hold on, the host should be able to find that and mute it. Yeah,
hello?
It's gone now. Well,
it's
quieted down now.
Okay, that was you, Sha. You still can hear us, but that was Sha D that was on the line. It was gone because I muted it. But anyway, I still hear a little bit
of it, but it's not as bad as it was.
Oh, you do? Let me see.
A little bit, but I can hear you now, so it's not as bad as it was. Yeah, it's gone now. There it goes again.
Can you hear it again? Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me see, because I want to close out without no static. Now, you shouldn't
hear it.
It's gone
now.
Right,
it's gone.
Everybody, it's gone now because everybody muted. So, anyway, we're going to close out for the evening. Like I said, I really appreciate all the listeners' support. My sister Lisa, Forrest Nance, Shadi, Mr. Solution, B.O., the other caller that called in, and everybody that's out there listening on a link who can't go live, I really appreciate it. Don't forget to tune in Wednesday night. Wednesday night, it's the same phone number at 7 o'clock to the Let's Talk About It podcast. That's my man Andre Shadi Hill. Every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Hopefully we should have Monday nights back with my man Dre, who was on the line. Humble Life Radio, same phone number, 830. I want everybody to listen. Tuesday night, I'm starting a new podcast at Tuesday night. I'm doing movie reviews. It's called Review Night. The first movie I'm reviewing Tuesday night is A Jasmine Blues, that new movie by Tyler Perry that's on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. It's a great movie. A Jasmine Blues on Netflix. And Tuesday at 8 o'clock, we'll be doing a review and discussions and everything on that movie. And every Tuesday, I'll be doing a different movie starting next Tuesday. So I want everybody to tune in at 8 o'clock Tuesday, please. Wednesday nights, I said, we got Let's Talk About It at 7 o'clock. Thursday nights, we got DJ Ray Boogie at 6:30 playing all good mix oldies but goodies. Sunday night, you got to start tuning in on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock. The Point of Impact. The host is Derek Hansford. He served 25 years in prison. And he thought he was getting sentenced to two. And he have a lot of guests on his show. Every guest on his show has done 20 years or more. And they come on and they talk about prison reform and, you know, that just the life, you know, that they've been through and what they're doing now. That's on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. It's all the same phone number. So today is Friday. The next show we have is Sunday with the Point of Impact with Derek Hansford, Monday. And if you ever forget, all you got to do is check my Facebook page, Randy J. Sean Jackson. And I have all the updates of all the shows on my page. I still see all the callers in there, so before I let everybody go, everybody, I think everybody is muted because of the sound, but I want to leave everybody with something. 1 second. I want to leave everybody with a note. I like to tell people and show people about everybody's worth in this world. Let me see. 1 second. I'm gonna bring. Let's see. I'm bringing everybody back live for a reason.
Yes, sir.
Who is that?
B.O.
Oh, B.O. Hey, B.O., if you had a T-shirt,
yes, sir.
Right, and you put your last name on it, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah,
if you had a
I'm listening.
You put your last name on it and say, like, you wanted to sell it. You wanted to sell me one and Shadi one, right?
Mm.
How much would you sell me a T-shirt with your last name on it?
I probably wouldn't sell it to you because it ain't your last name, God.
But look, Shadi,
yeah.
If you had your last name on a T-shirt, how much would you sell it to me for, or to B.O. for? You know, really. If you were selling T-shirts with your last name on it. If you were selling T-shirts with your last name on it, how much would you sell them for?
I mean, I would have to, depend on what it took to make the shirt. If it took me, like, $5 to make it, I'd probably sell it for 10, 8, something like that.
$8, right?
Yeah, somewhere I can make a profit.
Okay, but look. Mr. Gucci, he put his name on a shirt, and he sell it for $300. And we all, everybody buy it. It's nothing but a last name.
Right.
It's just a last name. But I would sell you one for 10.
Yeah.
You would sell me one for 8. B.O. would say he'd give it to you for free.
Word.
You know, this is a little bit off topic. I'm just trying to bring attention to something that I found out a little while ago. He would put his last name on a shirt as Gucci. He's selling it for $300 in stores, and people buying it, and we buying it.
Right. Yeah. Which
but
is a good
put
point.
Our last
which
name
is
on
absolutely
it,
good point.
I put my last name on a shirt. You put your last name. We're selling for $10, $20. You know what I mean?
Right.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
We gotta start knowing our worth in the world. Everybody.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with you in that aspect.
Pardon me, beloved. I didn't know you was talking about a business aspect of it. I just thought you know, hey, you got a T-shirt, you sell it. Yeah, you know I mean, I ain't know you meant it like that.
You wanted to sneak that pass.
Yeah, he damn sure did. He got that off.
I was trying to make a point that came to me. You know, it came to me like I have
I was like, you know, I was baffled by that. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, but you know,
when it came to my attention.
True, but it's one
yeah,
thing just
you
to put your name on something, and it's another thing to be in business, which, you know, and that being your brand. You know, you just said
right.
your last name on it. You didn't say that, you know, you didn't specify that it was a brand, you know what I mean? That's,
yeah,
that, you know,
yeah,
it kind
yeah.
of caught me off guard right there, but, you know, it's all good.
Right. And you got to
you
gotta think about
still,
that.
You still wouldn't have said 300, B.O.
Nah, I definitely wouldn't have said 300.
But you know what,
yeah,
know what
you
I'm saying, though.
Yes, sir.
You got to look at that. That's something over a number of years that people have gotten
right.
used to spending money, and it builds up to that. Now,
right?
Can we do that amongst ourselves? I'm sure we could. However, like Bill said, we have to build a brand. We have to build something that people feel like it's worth spending that type of money on. You know what I mean? That's the thing. You got the last name Jackson. With
right.
Michael in front of that, it's a whole different thing. You know what I mean?
Word.
Michael Jackson, you know what I'm saying? That's a whole different thing. You put M. Jackson, it changes. You know? So
yeah.
It's just you know, how a person perceives the name or the product, you know.
Indeed.
That's just what it is. You know, we haven't, you know, pushed the product to that magnitude. You know, we had FUBU, you know, we had Sean John, we had a few. You know, it's just the longevity, that Gucci been, that's longevity. That's been around for years and years. And don't think when he first came out, he was getting 300 for them T-shirts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know
he had to grow to that.
Yeah, but he there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something where I would say that we would look at it in a manner of, do we want to spend $300 for a T-shirt of somebody who could care less about us, or do we want to spend $300 towards building our own institution? Because that's what we have to go at. That's really where we have to really start looking at. Like, we spend a lot of money with other people, and there are institutions that are built that keep us out of the mix. And instead of us really looking at it in a manner of, let's spend our money to build institutions that's going to make things better for us, we give our money to the institutions that make things difficult for us. You know?
Facts.
So that's some stuff that, you know, we want to start recognizing, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about this week. You know, this week, some of the stuff of that nature. You know,
on your podcast.
You know, one of the questions. Yeah, one of the questions, pretty much. You know, are we in our situation because of a system, or are we in our situation because of our own bad decisions? That's one of the questions. You know what I mean?
Combination.
So we gotta We gotta weigh that. Some of it is the system, and then some of it is us. Now, at some point, if we what we can fix is us. And if we fix us, we can create our own system. But we have to start working on us to be able to fix our own, to create our own system.
Fact.
Like, we've been trying to break down a system that is already designed and working the way it's supposed to work. So why do we continue to try to break down a system? We already seen this has been hundreds of years ago. We've been trying to break down that system. and you get a little nudge. So the reality is the system ain't trying to go anywhere because it's working the way it's designed to work. We say broken system. No, it's not broken. It's working the way it's supposed to work. However, we got to create our own systems and our own institutions that's going to benefit
right.
us. We have the money. You just proved we had the money because we'll spend $300 on a T-shirt. So we got the money. You know, we just gotta use these podcasts to build the mentality and create the unity so that we will be able to do those type of things.
Real talk.
True,
bro.
Yeah, that's
real talk.
It's real talk. Yeah, that's what it's about.
Like next week I'm gonna go into more. But it's all real talk. It's all real talk. Like I said, keeping it real. I could go a lot of different ways, you know, but we're gonna stay universal. We're gonna stay, you know, because of podcasts, and we got different nationalities and cultures and things, so I'm gonna touch more on that next week. Look, we about to be out of here. It's 10:22.
All right.
We're not even being recorded no more. This is like after party. At 10 o'clock, we stop recording. But everybody on the phone, so everybody that was on the link, they can't hear what we saying. But everybody on the phone, they still can hear what we saying. I still see everybody listening.
I think
you know,
it's
I mean,
being recorded. Hello?
Say it again. Hello?
Hello? Solution. Go ahead.
Being recorded for the podcast. I don't think they can't hear it live, but it's being recorded, or at least that's my understanding.
Oh,
it will
know.
Be recorded in the podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, and they still on the line, too. Because I see the numbers.
Oh well,
but,
if they're still on the line, they can't. They can hear.
Yeah.
Right.
Just
they
like
can
we
hear.
Can hear.
Right.
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 And it's
right.
being recorded. But anyone new calling in, if someone new calls in, then they can't hear.
Oh right, right. I think that's how it is. They won't be able to get through because it's past 10.
Right.
But look, it was another good show. I never know how the show is gonna go, but they always seem to, you know, wind up, you know, going good where we get to have some good dialogue and good conversation, agree to disagree. Because like I always say, there's no right answer, there's no wrong answer. And a lot of people try to talk about the show, but I think tonight we really kept it real. We didn't talk about sex or nothing like on threesomes or nothing like that. So, because somebody had texted me and said, can you do a show? If you do a show without talking about sex and all that, you'll have more listeners. So if they listening, like, I did a show like that just to prove that I could do a show like that.
Hey, I have a quick comment on the financial side.
Oh, go ahead. What's up?
Well, okay. What I think, like, look, there. When you talk about group, and this refers to virtually any group, any identifiable group. In America, it's of course a melting pot, and one of the things is it's better for people, in my humble opinion, to learn the system themselves. They're not going to learn it collectively with anyone. Now, if you find someone you can work with productively, fine. But look, the average poor person today lives better than kings of old. Why? They have a better condition of living. They have air conditioning. They have hot and cold, running water. I mean, they have a supermarket that they can go to. and there's a bit of a social safety net. So most people are not going to come together as they would in terrible times. They just aren't going to do it. In other words, if one is born in the United States, they've hit the life's lottery. I'm just speaking matter-of-factly now. And so they aren't going to work with anyone else. So my position is it's best for an individual to learn the system, i.e. capitalism, and work it for themselves. And then if they want to work with someone subsequently, fine. If they want to work with someone afterwards, fine. But you aren't going to find this huge, even amongst immigrants, you know, they may collaborate for the first or second generation. But when you get to the third and fourth generation like that, they're in the mainstream economy for the most part. So, I mean, that's just something I think to take under consideration for people hoping that that will happen. People are going to have to learn it on their own and get out there and hit the bricks, and it can be done. That's the reason immigrants are still coming to America, is because there's still value here. People are risking their lives. I don't know if you guys heard about those 50 people in the back of that unrefrigerated truck in Texas that literally cooked. Did you guys hear about that?
No, sir.
No, I didn't hear about it.
Okay, you can easily look it up. But you know about people bombarding the border to get into the U.S. They're setting up morgues out there in Texas and Arizona, you know, because the people are trying to, you know, come to America, the land of opportunity. So my only point is, if people outside of the U.S. see opportunity, why can't the people in the U.S. see opportunity? And we take in about 1 million legal immigrants per annum, per year. We take in about 1 million people. So my point is singular. People in the world see value in the U.S. People in the U.S. are going to have to see that same value. Does that make sense? Do you follow me?
Yeah, it makes sense. But look, check this out. A person that coming here from another country, India, Chinese, they could come here, they can get loans and everything, and in 3 years, they got six Chinese restaurants or nail salons or nothing like that. But take somebody like me, a black man, I can't get a business loan. But they'll give a black man, they'll give you a student loan. They'll give you a loan for a car. They'll even give you a loan for a house. But I bet you they won't give you a business loan. Now, why is that? Because a business
loan. Well, now, you changed the narrative, but let me speak to that. First of all, the SBA, Small Business Administration.
Let me finish. A business loan for a black person would be empowerment. So they're not going
to Okay,
do
I was
that.
Trying to answer you.
They not. No, I know you is, but let me finish talking.
Okay, I thought you had finished. So, go ahead.
No. So it's a reason why they give me a student loan, a loan for a car, a loan for a house, because you know why? That's keeping you in debt. Instead, they give the Chinese people a business loan. They give Latin people, everybody from every country that come into America, they give them a business loan. You know why? Because if they get over here and start acting crazy, they'll just deport their ass back. But they can't deport us back because there's nowhere to send us back to. But okay, go ahead now. I'm finished.
Yeah, let me give you some pushback on that. I don't think you stated that accurately. Yeah, there are some country-to-country deals that they work out. Okay, no one is saying that that doesn't happen. But I don't think it's the sweetheart deal that you phrased it as. The other thing is those people, I was talking about people who come into the country illegally that are down there on the border, breaching the border right now. You know, the same ones that the Texas and Arizona governors, which I think was a brilliant move, were sending to the so-called sanctuary states like New York, Chicago, Martha's Vineyard, that sort of thing. So I'm saying that there are a good number of people who come here in violation of the law, who some Chinese, you know, there's even what they call birth tourism, where people from China particularly will come here to drop a child. I think that's a violation of the 14th Amendment, but nevertheless, and then the child has U.S. citizenship, which means there's value in that citizenship. Now, you can get a loan, too. It may be a little bit more difficult. I'm not arguing with you there. But it shouldn't be easy. It shouldn't be easy to get successful. I don't want it to be easy, personally, as someone who is successful, because that diminishes my success. I want it to be hard. Now, one of the things I do is advise people how to get successful. Work a minimum of 70 to 80 hours a week. If you're young and healthy, you can do it. The first 40 hours are to take care of your bills. The second 40 hours, or 30 or 40 hours, is to build your net worth. And so there are ways to do it.
And how long do you want somebody to work 70 hours a week? For what, 20 years?
All right. That's a good question, too. That's a very good question. And I'm damn glad you asked it. I would say about 5 years. 3 to 5 years will put a person in the black, and then you won't ever have to do that again. And so I'm saying there are still ways to get wealthy. The United States offers the greatest opportunity, not guarantee, different words, but opportunity. Now, some people can differ with me, but I tell you what, they can't differ with my receipts. They can differ with me in words. And one of the things you said earlier is fantastic, and if you want to do it, I would love to participate in it. But people should get out of debt. Historically, debt was only helpful in getting like an education or a home loan. People are using debt now to support their lifestyle. That's what happens with a lot of kids in college. So getting out of debt and staying out of debt, particularly consumer debt. You know, there's an old bromide that says the rich rule over the poor and the borrower becomes the slave to the lender. Why would you want to be a slave? So, I mean, there are some good financial truths to follow. I can give you a number of good books, The Millionaire Next Door, The Richest Man in Babylon, Think and Grow Rich, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know, and on and on and on. There are great books to motivate you to do what I'm saying, but you got to be willing to put in the time. And you can become wealthy, too. Go ahead.
Now, I heard of those.
Powernomics, that's another one. I'm just looking at some books on my shelf. That we can definitely talk about. I would say anyone who wants to be Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, I think that was 1934. Get that book and read it from cover to cover. I often meet young people in the street. I've heard, and I give them a tip, you know, if they're worthy, if they're open to it. Some people aren't open to it, and you know, you can't do anything at that particular time. But get the book Powernomics. That's a great book. It combines two words, power, the ability to overcome resistance, and economics. That's a Greek word referring to how one arranges their home, particularly financially. You know, we use the word now economics or economy. Those words are derivatives. And so rather than sitting back complaining, and I'm talking to anybody, not just you, you know, find out what to do and then get to work. I've worked 70 to 80 hours a week, so I know what I'm talking about. Go ahead. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I don't mean to overload you, but go
nah.
ahead.
That's you. No, everything you said is, I mean, it sounds good. I just,
but see, most people won't read a book. When I find people that won't read a book, I do a 180 mentally and also physically too, because it's a waste of my time. If they won't read the book, go ahead.
I'm an author of seven books.
Great. What genre?
Excuse me?
What genre? Fiction, nonfiction, with self-help,
children books.
Oh, okay, great.
I specialize in autobiographies, though. Look up the Andre Williams story. Look up the Andre Williams story by Randy J. Sean Jackson.
Well, Randy, it's a pleasure to know you. But let me just say this to you, Randy, if I may. Finance is something that's different from everything else, and they usually don't teach this in school. I've been to both graduate, undergraduate, and graduate school. Even when you take courses, like I took a lot of accounting courses, business courses, marketing courses, what they teach you is how to run someone else's business, how to be productive in someone else's business. And that's fine because everybody has to start somewhere as an employee. Unless one has a family business. And then even then you may start out as an employee. But see, what people have to learn is that they are a business themselves. So finance is unlike any other endeavor. It's different. It requires different skills to become financially savvy. So I would say people who want to be rich, you have to study rich people. That's what the people who wrote The Millionaire Next Door, that's how they got rich. And I'm over 6 feet tall, right? And I was standing next to, when the book came out, man, they just had all these books up against the wall, you know, over 6 feet high, stacks of The Millionaire Next Door. And they just surveyed rich people and then reported on it. And I contributed to their wealth. Because I bought the book.
Make a lot of sense.
Yeah, The Millionaire Next Door. They tell you things in there. Amazing. I can tell you now. I can read the book in my mind. The word paw, prodigious accumulator of wealth. Paw, A-A-W, average accumulator of wealth. You know? They really go through it. They hash it out. They tell you who's wealthy. Dave Ramsey has a new book now. I think it's called Baby Steps or something like that. Dave Ramsey is very listened to. And he has people calling in, celebrating, getting out of debt. Think about that just for a moment. People are calling in, explaining how much debt they had, how long it took them to exit from that debt. And then they give a hand clap, you know. I think that's great. I listen to that. It's inspirational and it's encouraging. Now, I have two credit cards. And I use those credit cards. But guess what? I pay them off at every billing cycle. So I pay zero interest. I get a free loan. And that's the way credit cards should be utilized. Because really it's a trick. But you have to out-trick the tricker. And the way that – now, I'm called a deadbeat. People like me in the credit card industry are called a deadbeat. Why? Because I don't make that $20 minimum payment. That's what they say. That's a psychological thing that doesn't benefit the person who is charging. It lulls you into – delaying paying that debt off and paying interest, high interest rates, right? And so what one needs to do, I use that credit card. I say, thank you very damn much. I get a free loan for about 45 days, at least 30 days, depending on the billing cycle. And then I pay them back. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's hey, I high five myself. So anyway, my point is that if one uses credit wisely, and they should, because it can be very dangerous if you use it otherwise, and you know, get out of debt. That's what, and see, we have to encourage each other to do it, because there's another side. You've seen the pictures of the person with the devil on one side and the angel on the other. Well, the devil has a megaphone blasting in our ears. You know you need that. You know you need that new car. You need that new outfit. You need that new whatever, 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 right? And you're going into debt. I've known people who've had in excess of $20,000 debt credit card. And I asked this particular individual, I said, by the way, do you have anything stemming from that debt? In other words, do you have any hard asset, anything tangible? No, just the debt. And so that's a shame. That's terrible. So there are ways to get to still make it in the United States. Read some of those books. Get around people who do read those books. And working 70 to 80 hours. Now, most people are not going to do that. I'm losing some weight right now, and I'm fasting. Not many people want to walk down that particular road. And it's been difficult for me. I'm mastering it now. I see that that's the best way to lose weight. I have about another 10 pounds to go, and it's getting easier as I lose. But I had to put in the work. And so 70 to 80 hours a week minimum for a young person. Get your butt out there and go to work and save and use what they call executive decision making, delayed gratification, and you'll build your net worth. Go ahead.
Yo, Joe, I'm going to call you Joe. You're Mr. Solution. It's been real. It really has.
All right. Well, have a good one. I'll listen to you next
hold,
time.
Hold,
thank
hold
you
on.
Very much.
Hold on. Hello? Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
I'm still here.
Yeah. Now, when you say young people, what are the age you talking about as far as working that 40 to 80? What age is you saying? Who would you consider in that age bracket?
Well, I would say up to 50, maybe even some people don't hit their stride until between 45 and 55, you know. But usually you can do it in about 15 years, about 10 to 15 years, and you'll see great progress probably in the first 3 to 5 years. You'll get rid of all your debt. Imagine a jet plane taking off. I love aeronautics. And remember, that plane has to utilize maximum energy to overcome gravity at takeoff and what we call inertia. It has to overcome that weight. But once it gets up there to where the air is thinner, you know, they can cut back on the power, and they do. So, yeah, and be healthy, you know, work out. I'm not saying it's easy. I didn't say it was easy. It's not easy. It's a sacrifice, but it's worth it. And if you start working young, I always worked hard. Even as a child, I worked. So it wasn't anything new to me. Hang around successful people. Get away from people who are profligate, who are wasteful. Because many of those people will pull you down. They don't. Do you think you're better than me? You think you're better than me. See, you don't even want to get in that argument. Don't even have that argument. That's not a good argument. That's not a good road to go down with anyone. When you're trying to better yourself, you're competing with who you were juxtaposed to who you intend to be. And you're on the move. So read some of those books, set some goals, and get at it. And you'll win. The chance, now, it's not guaranteed. I'm not saying it's guaranteed. But the overwhelming likelihood, if you do what we just discussed, stay out of trouble, stay off drugs, don't use drugs, alcohol and drugs, and stay away from people who are users. Those things will drag you down. There's no, I pay a lot of taxes, and I'm not proud of that, but I do. And one of those listings are community college. Everybody can go to community college and get a skill. Get a skill. Get in a career. Start your own business. But you've got to get some knowledge. Most people are ignorant and complaining that they don't have success. Well, of course you don't, and you won't. I don't want success to be easy. I don't want it to be easy. Does that make sense to you? And you don't want it to be easy either. Once you put in those 60 to 70 to 80 hours a week, 60 hours minimum, minimum. What's the old saying? I watched this movie once with Chris Rock. I watch various movies. And his boss told him, he said, and some people quote this, he said, you can lose a lot of money chasing women, but you won't lose any women chasing money. Do any of you guys remember hearing that?
Yes, yeah, sir. I remember. Yeah. I don't remember the movie, but I remember that.
Yeah, there you go. So chase that money. Greed up until a certain point. Now, I love theology. Okay, I'm an amateur theologist and philosopher. And I will tell you that a certain amount of greed is good. I can defend that. I'm not saying I'm greedy. Well, maybe sometimes a little bit, but not a lot. I'm human. A little bit of greed is good. Why? Because the person who's greedy, and I mean, and I'm saying this in a good way, so I'm going to give you the context, will be more productive. They're out there working. When you're working 60 minimum hours a week, you are a little bit greedy. Because the guy or gal who's sitting up on their bum, they're not greedy. They're lazy. Hey, I've worked day and night. I loved it. I mean, I was working so much. Now, you do have to mitigate. You have to be healthy. You have to work out. Drink plenty of water. Eat a plant-based diet. A little bit of, fish and what have you. But you will have the money to do that because you're working. Work two or three jobs. I've worked three and four jobs. Come on. You've got to put in the time. Am I making sense? Does this make sense?
Definitely.
Well, I'm going to tell you, whether it makes sense or not, it makes a difference. Let me tell you that much. When I get my bank, when I get my credit card statement, and it says zero balance, zero interest, that's the A in life. That's a life A. Because how many people get that? They follow that $20 minimum payment. I bet you, if you don't believe me, look at your credit card statement. Look at your billing statement. And whatever you owe, it tells you $20 minimum payment. Somebody fact check me on that. Fact check me.
Don't have to.
Please.
No, I know. No, we know that. I definitely know that.
Fact check me.
You're right about that.
And why do they tell you $20 minimum? Because they know the path of least resistance benefits them. When you pay them $20 minimum, that barely covers the interest on that debt. So they drag it out. You end up paying two to three times. And don't miss a payment. If you miss a payment, uh-oh. So, I mean, these are real-life things, and they don't really teach us this. Now, in some schools, to be fair, I got to be fair, in some schools, they are starting to teach young people now personal finance, but that's on a very limited basis. They want you to go out there and get in debt. They want you to be a debt slave. That's the way the system runs.
Right, right.
Yeah, so we can talk about this, but remember, I don't give a damn how much we talk. 60 hours minimum, you can work all the way up to 80 hours, double it. And you'll see your friends. Now, they're going to come around when you get that, when you lay your financial foundation deep, they're going to show up and they're going to want some. Now, you have to work out how you're going to deal with that. But the same people who thought, well, you think you're better than me, you're better than me, they're going to want some of that reserve that you have. Trust me.
Got that right.
Yeah.
They'll be right there with that hand out. And you know, when you really have your hand out, you put your other hand under that open hand to brace it. That means you want some.
That's called
give me some.
They so much his hands look like cups.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the cups hand.
That book, Powernomics, Think and Grow Rich, The Millionaire Next Door, The Richest Man in Babylon, Baby Steps. Let me tell you, I'm going to give you a secret. All those books pretty much say the same thing. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, although he starts at 9 years old. You know, there's a game, all of them, teach your children these games. Robert Kiyosaki has an economic game. Dave Ramsey has one. Rick Edelman has a book. It's called The Peanut, wait a minute, The Squirrel Diary. Or something like that. It's for kids. It's to teach kids how to be wealthy. And if you plant this seed in a child's mind, oh, my goodness, there's no telling what they'll do. Because, see, you're planting it early, and all of their neurons and what have you are developing. And if they develop around finance, oh, my goodness, you've unleashed a tiger. So, you know, it's good to teach your kids to be financially responsible.
Right.
And I'm just laying a very small foundation. You guys can get much, much more on your own, and you should. But that's going to be one of the most important statements, particularly now. Two-thirds of Americans are financially fragile. They're financially insecure. The baby boomer generation is the last generation for the defined benefit plan. Most people working now are going to have to work until they die. No retirement, buddy. No retirement for you.
Right. Sammy,
yeah, we gotta close out. We're running out of time. I've been off the air since then. It's been real good.
Yeah, I'll check you guys out next week.
All
have
right,
a great evening.
Wednesday.
All right,
Friday.
Want to check me out Wednesday.
Word,
right?
For sure.
Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
All right, and you too, Solution. May want to let you do that on the show as well, all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good
night.
With that being said, we're going to close out for the night. It's been
close.
A good peace. It's been a good night. Good conversation, good dialogue. It's always positive, you know, so we'll be tuning in. Peace. We'll be tuning in next week. We went a little bit overboard, but we still got people listening. That's the good thing about it. You know, I always like that we still got people listening. I'm getting up and going fishing in the morning.
That's what's
but
up,
everybody, dude. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be here the same time next week. Don't forget to tune into the other shows. Peace.
All right, Beth. Yeah. Walk with me.
Come take a walk with me, grab my hand. Let me school you, little bro, make you understand. You gotta run the streets to become a man. Just stay in your own lane, you could buy some land. I see the fire in your eyes. Don't fall into the trap, in the trap you can die. So many soldiers stand down in the sky. Pay attention to the vibe, that's what's keeping you alive. Have patience, just talk to me. Get out of line, you get drunk for free. I won't let you fall if it's up to me. And they say misery like companies. Don't let them put you down on companies. You know I got your back, you look up to me. It's okay to show love, but cautiously. It's okay for men to cry, but not normally. Let's go.
Yeah. Walk with me. Walk with me.
Relax, nigga, take a seat. You be acting all hard, you ain't from the street. Got a good family and somewhere to sleep. Nigga, I was house to house with nowhere to eat. I don't get you, niggas. These shoes can't fit you, niggas. You can play it off. Looking in your eyes, see you mask off. Pretending to be a G until they pull your card. Yo, you still young, don't take the road where I came from. Ain't nothing there. Couple of holes, a sip of beer. Switching up, pose with the pole, ain't playing fair. Get up off that circle, you ain't earning shit with them squares. Before you get caught up and it happens, let's take it there. Find a sense of tingling, feeling all in the air. And keep God close with the post and make a prayer.
Yo, this record for all your loved ones, man. Don't ever steer them in the wrong direction. Being real is a form of respect. Respect yourself.
Let's go, man. Being real is being genuine. Yourself.